Hello, Texas America, the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I have Brad Jones on the line from upstate New York, who's going to be talking about a coalition of citizens who have filed an antitrust complaint with the Department of Justice against the wind energy industry. And this involves a grassroots coalition of nearly 100 citizens from New York, Vermont, and other states who have filed this federal antitrust complaint, alleging that an international cartel comprised of foreign and domestic business entities have conspired to eliminate competition in the newly emerging U.S. wind energy sector. This complaint was filed with the U.S. Department of Justice Antitrust Division and maintains that wind farm developers, suppliers, consultants, investors, and in some cases public officials have engaged in illegal geographic market allocation, price fixing, and bid rigging in direct violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act. We're going to be picking this up with Brad Jones in just a minute or two, but I wanted to allow John in Tennessee to finish his thought with our conversation before the break. Go ahead, John.
All right. Can you hear me?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. I'll make this quick because I know he has a lot more important things to say than I do. But this
morning, no, this is fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this morning I actually called down from Nashville to Birmingham, Alabama, on a talk show down there where they were talking. He was asking about this amnesty thing and coming over like he was against it, you know. And what it amounted to, Mark, was that I brought to his attention that the open borders were actually, that's the plan. I mentioned to him that April 30th, President Bush had signed an agreement with the EU, you know, and we went on. He asked me what it was about, and I told him, you know, it's basically, they're saying it's to free the airways, but it's actually bringing America in line with the European Union in regards to economics and, you know, their political situation and environmental, you know. I went down the litany, and he started talking over me, would not let me speak. So I said, you know, Lee, you know, are you going to allow me to speak, or do you want to talk over me? He says, well, that's my job. I said, that's your job? He says, yes, when you say things that are incorrect, it's my job not to let you complete your sentence. You know, so basically they're becoming bolder, Mark. When we've got Sam Donaldson saying that the corporate news media actually determines which presidential candidates they're going to allow to get airtime and to become known by the American public, and then you have a guy in Birmingham, Alabama, saying that it is his job not to let you speak, even though he's called on the radio to ask for opinions on a given subject. But when you start hitting home or you start presenting the truth, they don't want you to be heard.
Well, a classic example of this, John, is that the ABC News Washington Post poll that was done after the MSNBC debate showed that a majority of people who answered
They
believe that Ron Paul had won the debate, and yet the Washington Post turns around after their own poll shows that Ron Paul won the debate. The Washington Post is turning around and issues an op-ed piece or an editorial saying that they think that Paul and some of these other guys, you know, shouldn't even be running.
Well, Sam Donaldson had mentioned after the Fox debate, when Ron Paul came in second under Mitt Romney, he said, well, basically, that's a bunch of Ron Paul supporters using their anytime minutes. Now, that was Fox News the morning after on their Fox in the Morning or whatever it's called. It's basically saying that Ron Paul supporters had flooded the air, you know, the lines and caused him to come in second. Well, forget the fact that America has been taught how not to think. People have lost their ability to reason. Thank you, Mark.
God bless you, John. Talk to you soon again. Take care. We'll be back with Brad Jones to talk about the Cohocton Wind controversy and this action that has been filed, this antitrust action with the Federal Justice Department, and what it means for you and for me. Stay tuned. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. We'll be back with Brad Jones.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Brad Jones of Performance Plus Business Consultants up in Naples, New York. He's going to be talking specifically today about something called the Cohocton Wind Watch. A coalition of citizens have filed an antitrust complaint with the Federal Department of Justice against the wind energy industry. And Brad's going to unpack this case for us and what the implications of it are, not simply for people in upstate New York, but what this case has to say about the whole relationship, the alleged relationship between corporate interests and politicians, not simply in upstate New York, but throughout the country. And I know at least one person, the editor of Breaking All the Rules News, who has referred to this Cohocton Wind controversy as the next Enron in terms of the implications that are behind this case, if it ever comes to public light. We want to make it come out to public light in the fair and free sunshine on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm also hoping at some point that maybe the American Free Press will pick up on this story as well, in order to, that a much wider segment of the American right specifically and the American public generally might take a look at this whole situation to see what's lurking in the darkness. Brad Jones, how are you coming from upstate New York?
I'm doing great today, Mark. How are you?
Very good. Listen, I've read some of the material on this case, and quoting from a recent news release, it says that there's a grassroots coalition of nearly 100 citizens from New York, Vermont, and other states that have filed a federal antitrust complaint alleging that an international cartel comprised of foreign and domestic business entities have conspired to eliminate competition in the newly emerging U.S. wind energy sector. Kind of take it from there, Brad, and unpack the case for the listeners and what you think the implications of it are.
Okay, well, let me give you a little bit of background, and we're speaking not just about the situation in Cohocton, which is a town just to the south of us, but also for probably 15 to 20 towns across New York State, as well as Massachusetts and Maine and Vermont, Pennsylvania, and also now Illinois has joined us as well. But let me just explain how the developers begin the process of creating a wind energy project. And a wind energy project is not, you know, pretty little Dutch windmills out there in the countryside. These are industrial developments. Each project typically may cover 5 to 10,000 acres and include 20 to 80 450-foot high wind turbines. So this is not a development that's consistent with the rural and recreational nature of this particular part of the country.
Brad, if you could do that again, just for my sake, give us those stats again on the nature of these operations.
Sure. Well, it's an industrial scale. This is not the small residential scale turbine that might be 40 feet. These particular turbines are about, the ones proposed for Cohocton, I believe, are 425 feet tall. They weigh something around 300 tons. And they will cover, the actual project itself will cover 5 to 10,000 acres. That's a typical project as proposed for New York.
Boy, that's absolutely incredible. I mean, as one who is a total novice in these matters, I can see the implications of this just as I kind of draw myself a little map here and try to understand the physical scale, the magnitude of it.
Well, there's nothing else like it in this area. We are rural, we are agricultural, we're recreational. The highest structure that you'll typically see here is a silo, and that's about 40 feet, other than the occasional cell tower. So, you know, this is a quiet, peaceful, scenic area. Tourism is our largest industry, and 90, at least in our town here, 90-plus percent of the residents are strongly opposed to the wind projects.
Yes, and again, just to emphasize what you've already told us, that this involves nearly 100 citizens who have filed this federal antitrust complaint. And it involves New York and Vermont. It involves Pennsylvania and a whole series of other locations. I'm looking just at all of the different places in New York State alone that are involved in this. And in the complaint itself, it utilizes the terminology of an international cartel. What's behind that?
Well, the reason for using that terminology is that an international cartel, which is any association, even loose affiliation of foreign companies, that is one of the highest priorities of the Department of Justice, according to their literature. So we looked very closely at what we had here and learned as we dug into the business aspects of wind energy that virtually every company that's involved in the wind energy industry is based outside of the U.S. except for General Electric. That's the one U.S.-based company that's involved. But the rest of the companies are typically out of Europe or Australia.
Are any of these companies, I mean, it's interesting that we're mentioning Europe and Australia. Jerome Corsi, as I've mentioned on the air here, has a piece with WorldNet Daily talking about Rudy Giuliani's connections to the NAFTA superhighway crowd. And in Dr. Corsi's article, he mentions a couple of companies whose names have come up before. One, Cintra, a Spanish company, and one, Macquarie, which is based in Australia, are apparently very much involved both at the present time as well as in the future in getting into the whole business of collecting toll fees from American citizens using American roads. Are we looking at the wind energy, wind power version of this kind of thing that's going on with the NAFTA superhighway?
Well, I think we are, but additionally, one of the companies, which is called Babcock & Brown, out of Australia, is also bidding on the toll highways as well. So basically, they're looking at many of these infrastructure investments as very lucrative and very safe investments, and the money is basically coming from large investors and investment banks overseas.
So this Babcock & Brown outfit, which is based in Australia, is involved in this wind power controversy up there in New York and Pennsylvania. And from what you're saying, Babcock & Brown is also involved in this toll road thing.
Yes, they are.
Boy, that's absolutely incredible. And, of course, this is the first time I'm hearing about this company. And, of course, I'm writing the information down. Who are some of the leading banks and international financial conglomerates that are involved?
Goldman Sachs does own some of the wind projects. J.P. Morgan has been involved. And then the Royal Bank of Scotland. There's also some large investment banks out of Italy and France that are getting involved, as well as Spain. And Babcock & Brown, being a fairly large conglomerate, has its own investment bank as well, and they are fronting some of the projects too.
Boy, this is obviously the implications of this, as I just listened to it, are absolutely staggering. And clearly what seemed to be emerging here is a situation where another aspect of the way of life that thousands of rural Americans used to know is in the process of being pushed out the window from a multi-story building unless we do something. And this is clearly going on at the hands of what truly can fairly be called, and as you've stated it in this antitrust suit, an international cartel. I mean, as the names come forth, and I'm jotting the names down, it's very obvious to me as one who is not an investment banker or an international economic expert that this is precisely what we're talking about here.
It is, and it's something that we really didn't recognize until a couple of months ago, because we did not even know about Babcock & Brown until earlier this year, even though a company fronting for them has been pushing to put in a wind project in our town for almost 5 years.
What is the name, if you can say it on the air, what is the name of this company that is fronting for Babcock & Brown up there?
Well, it's an LLC, and it was originally called Ecogen LLC. They now call themselves Ecogen Wind LLC, and they portray themselves as being an independent business entity until at one of the hearings, I think in late December, one of their members got so upset that he actually blurted out Babcock & Brown.
So how is Ecogen spelled?
E-C-O-G-E-N.
Okay, and they're now called ECOGEN, Ecogen Wind LLC, and as it turns out, they have a relationship with this Australian Babcock & Brown company.
That's correct, and that's a matter of public record.
Well, I tell you, and of course, as you pointed out, Babcock & Brown have their own bank, which presumably operates under an even different name. So for the uninitiated, this starts getting into an entire web maze that we need somebody with your legal capabilities to help the rest of us understand.
Mark, the web maze is beyond my capabilities. Babcock & Brown operates under 35 different business entities.
Wow.
Trying to connect
incredible.
The dots between Babcock & Brown and all the other companies is difficult, but we've been able to do it. And there's no question that because of partnerships, part ownerships, memoranda of understanding, supply agreements, strategic alliances, all of these companies are connected one way or another.
And presumably, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest this, presumably I know personally one individual who's involved is one of the citizens in this endeavor, but as I consider this whole business of an unlevel playing field, you've got nearly 100 citizens described as a grassroots coalition. They've utilized you, Brad, to help them with this federal antitrust suit that has been filed with the Department of Justice. But when I think about the economic largesse of these international companies, many of whose names are known to me as one who just glances at the Wall Street Journal every 6 months or so, that as I look at Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, the Royal Bank of Scotland, we're talking about Italian and French banks involved in this. There's this Babcock & Brown outfit from Australia. I mean, who knows the total number of financial assets that are actually involved in adding up these companies. But when you compare the numbers that they undoubtedly have at their disposal in regard to playing around with these wind energy industry projects, and then I think of the money on the other side, it's an incredibly unlevel playing field. Realistically, what kind of a chance do you think you have?
It's a very good question, and the answer is we're not sure.
We'll be back, and we'll take that up a little bit with Brad Jones when Mark Gantos America comes back to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. We're talking with Brad today about the Department of Justice and an antitrust suit that has been filed against the wind energy industry. and the international cartel that is behind it in New York, Vermont, and Pennsylvania. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by attorney Brad Jones, who has filed a federal antitrust complaint with the Department of Justice against an international cartel that is promoting a brand of wind energy industry development that involves some of the biggest names in international finance, and that is fundamentally involved, apparently, in altering the rural landscape of New York, Vermont, in Pennsylvania, among others. And as we look at this whole story, I discover that I have a caller from New York. Joe has called in. Joe, you're on with Brad Jones on Mark Gancos America. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Mark. Great show, as usual, and I really appreciate Brad being on there to talk about this. As you said, I'm in New York as well. I'm with the Constitution Party of New York, and I've been following a little bit the reform Cohocton. In the area I live, downstate, it's doesn't seem to be as big an issue yet, and I really appreciate, too, the guest explaining. When I first heard about it, I thought of windmills as being, you know, a small family farm windmill, and I think it is important to point out how, from my understanding, a Boeing 747 can sit inside the turbine of these some of these so-called wind turbines. So I think, and I understand also that the rules have been changed, the regulations have been changed to allow setbacks closer to private property or even on private property. I do have a couple of questions for your guests there.
Sure, go ahead.
One would be, I know you mentioned Pennsylvania. I'm just wondering how widespread this is in New York State. If it's successful in Cohocton, I mean, can we imagine that they're going to try to get this across the state, or is it just the particular wind environment in Cohocton that makes that a good place for these wind turbines, or is this a statewide issue, or is it more of a local issue?
Joe, it's very much a statewide issue. There are operating wind farms in New York now, but basically every town that has either weak or no zoning laws is a target for the developers. Downstate is not a target, primarily because the real estate's more expensive down there.
Okay. And how would we get in touch with you if we wanted to, learn more about this?
You could certainly give me a call, or you could write to me. My office phone number is 585-374-2627.
Okay. I really appreciate it, and I'll be listening. I want to, hear more about this, and, I think our party is very much interested in helping to stop, this political corruption where, the big business is promoting something that, from my understanding, is not cost-effective. Wind power really has to be subsidized by the taxpayers.
It's very heavily subsidized to the point that the profits that come out of it for the foreign developers are just, they're obscene, the amount of money that they will make from the projects here.
Great.
Joe, you mentioned setbacks from the wind turbines.
Right.
Most of the people who have studied this believe that wind turbines are probably safe if they're 2 to 2.5 miles from residences. In the town of Cohocton, they can be as close as 500 feet from a property line.
Right. Is there a safety hazard as well as a noise hazard?
There's a variety of safety hazards associated with them. The one that we are most concerned about is the effect of the low-frequency noise from the turbines, particularly its effect on unborn children and on children and on the elderly, particularly those folks who may have any tendency to an epileptic type of a condition.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that that you folks are, working on this, and hopefully our party can work together with you.
You finished, Joe?
Yes.
Hey, thank you very much, sir. God bless you.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to mention as well on the air that I think that this is an important enough story that I'm going to have the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C. put out a news release on this coming through my name that is going to point to all of the subscribers to the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C. will have this made available to them as a news release, both Brad's appearance on this show today as well as a series of URL links to this story, including what Breaking All the Rules News has said about it in terms of this initial news release, because this is something that's not going to go away. And when I see the names that are listed in regard to the international financiers involved in this whole movement, this is clearly something that we need to know about. Brad, as we speak about this today, in regard to the amount of money that is involved in these industrial-scale wind projects, why is there this kind of money involved in this, and what do you believe to be the larger game plan of these international financial conglomerates in wanting to build these monstrosities in rural New York and Vermont and Pennsylvania?
Well, the reason they're building them is because they can.
Yes.
The combination of production tax credits, renewable energy certificates, favorable tax treatment give these investors a 20 to 25% return on capital. The typical wind farms here will cost in the neighborhood of $200 million to construct, and they will have their money back in 4 to 5 years. The reason that they're here now and they're pushing so hard in New York State is because we have not only a federal tax credit, but a state tax credit as well.
We'll take that up when we come back with Brad Jones. This is Mark Gantos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Broadcasting Network. We're talking about a federal antitrust case that's been filed with the Department of Justice against the international wind energy industry. And upstate New York, Vermont, and in Pennsylvania. Serious implications. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're back. This is Mark Anfaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Brad Jones of upstate New York, talking about a Department of Justice antitrust action that has been filed against the international cartel that is behind the wind energy industry up in New York, Vermont, and Pennsylvania. Absolutely incredible, folks, the implications of this case. Here we have, as Brad has described it for us this morning, a series of industrial-scale wind projects, New York, Vermont, and Pennsylvania, just to name three places. Looking at the figures that he's given me earlier, just in Cahokton, New York, for example, the typical industrial-scale wind project that we're talking about involves a tower that's 425 feet tall, weighs 300 tons, covers anywhere from 5 to 10,000 acres, and that when we look at the companies involved in this, General Electric in the United States, Babcock & Brown in Australia, which in turn has 35 different business entities and its own bank. We're talking about Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, the Royal Bank of Scotland, and a series of banks in Italy and France. And according to Brad, it costs about $200 million to build one of these things. There's a 20 to 25% return on the initial capital investment, and most of these guys have recovered their money in, say, 4 to 5 years after the initial capital outlay. Brad, in terms of both the political and the economic landscape of this whole thing, I wanted to look at this just a little bit further. Their basic reason for doing this is simply that it makes money, and the reason that it makes money is, among other things, because of such things as the investment tax credit situation?
Exactly. The only reason they make money is because of the subsidies from the taxpayers. If you look at the basic economics of wind, per megawatt of capacity, it's about 20 times more expensive than conventional capacity. But additionally, wind is not dispatchable. In other words, you cannot turn it on or turn it off. So you get electricity from a wind farm only when the wind is blowing, which adds very, very little value to the electrical grid. So you've got an intermittent, unstable source of energy that basically has no value to the consumers.
Well, when we think about taxpayer subsidies for something like this, in terms of the original legislation that was crafted to bring this taxpayer subsidy thing to pass, was it originally envisioned that these taxpayer subsidies would be going to small family farms and so forth who wanted to build little windmills and do other things that were environmentally friendly and that would help small landowners and so forth? Was that originally what many people conceived of when this whole thing was enacted, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think a part of the argument is that commercial wind farms, industrial wind farms, will benefit local farmers because they will lease their property and receive lease payments on an annual basis. That's one of the arguments. But the production tax credits, as I understand it, are really the result of lobbying by the American Wind Energy Association, which is a carbon copy of the British Wind Energy Association. So it's lobbyists in Washington with deep pockets helping politicians understand how to do an Enron type of energy trading. And that's exactly what they're doing.
The American Wind Energy Association. This is a fascinating show, Brad. I trust not only for the listeners but for me, as I'm writing down the names of all of these different organizations and the institutional investors. The American Wind Energy Association, do they have a website where we can learn more about who's on their board of directors and how they're financed and how much capital they've got?
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if you can find out too much about their financials, Mark, but they do have a website, and they did have a number of press releases recently where they were pushing very, very hard in Congress for not only a one-year extension of the federal tax credit, or production tax credit, but also now a five-year extension. And we also know, based upon press releases from Babcock and Brown, that the only reason they are interested in the U.S. market is because production tax credits, your tax money, is making them profitable.
Boy, I tell you, this is absolutely incredible. And again, as I just grasp the implications of this, one of the things I'd like to see somebody do is to sit down in the states that are the most directly affected by these industrial wind projects and enlist all of the international financial institutions that are involved in this, list this American Wind Energy Association, put all of those things down in one column, and then get a hold of the Federal Election Commission list and start analyzing the contributions to every politician in the respective states involved to see where the financial associations and the political money trails might be.
Well, it is definitely all about following the money. That's how we'll figure out who's at the bottom of this.
Well, getting back to a question that I asked earlier in the show, and then I think we were slightly interrupted by a commercial break, in regard to the financial largesse that is clearly available to these major international conglomerates in terms of pretty much up to this point doing what they've wanted to do with these industrial wind projects, and then you've got, on the other hand, about 94 individual grassroots citizens that have utilized you to file this antitrust thing with the Department of Justice. Realistically, what kind of a chance do you think that you have to prevail or to at least hold your own in this thing legally, And if you can say this on the air, and if you can, I certainly understand, what kind of legal costs are going to accrue to the grassroots citizens who are trying to fight this thing?
Well, I feel pretty confident that this is only one of many legal actions that the various groups have been taking. And we think that sooner or later we will prevail. Additionally, I would say that it's not simply a legal issue. It's an issue of what's right and what's wrong. And if we fail legally, then we will take whatever other action needs to be taken in order to prevent these developers from coming in. In terms of the costs for the antitrust complaint, let me just clarify, Mark. I am not an attorney.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. I'm just a private citizen. And working with information from the Department of Justice, we put together the complaint and then solicited co-complainants. That's how the process works. So basically, other than my time, which was not charged out to anyone, there has been no cost associated with the complaint. We expect there will be no cost with the processing of the complaint, as the Department of Justice will make a decision as to whether they wish to pursue this or not, and they are still reviewing it. In addition, we heard for the first time 2 weeks ago from one of the various states' attorney general's office. We had not been able to get their attention in the past. The antitrust complaint at the federal level got their attention, and we've been talking with an assistant attorney general who's in charge of antitrust in one of the states, and I don't want to say which one.
Right.
And we believe that they are going to pursue this action with the Department of Justice. So my belief, Mark, is that if the DOJ goes after these people and the developers see that they have a choice of either getting out of the country or facing 10-year jail terms and $1 million personal fines, that this will be an Enron-type collapse for the industry, because there's no legitimacy in any aspect of the industrial wind turbines, at least in the Northeast. I can't speak for other parts of the country.
Well, yes, and as we look at this whole thing, it seems to me that another thing comes into play in this as well, potentially, Brad, and that is that this whole business of these investment tax credits, or specifically the so-called production tax credit, that the entirety of the implications of that law need to be revisited up on Capitol Hill and also in the individual states.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, this has become a political issue, and the leftist environmentalists believe all of the stuff in the wind energy industry, that this is clean and safe and renewable, and that it's going to displace oil, it's going to displace coal-fired plants. None of these things are going to happen. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, in terms of some of the things that you talked about with Joe from New York in the air, involving what these studies that indicate that where one of these industrial wind projects exists, that safety would dictate that it be 2 to 2.5 miles away from an individual private property where someone is living, and that some of these wind projects have come as close as 500 feet to a residential area. You were citing this in terms of safety concerns, in terms of issues related to low-level noise that can affect unborn children as well as the elderly. Are there any places in terms of data that we could turn to in regard to any of the research studies that have been done on this that might make for good reading for the listeners?
I think what we're left with is anecdotal information, Mark, because the wind energy industry has never allowed an independent research study to be conducted. There have been numerous requests in Europe to conduct scientific studies to determine exactly what the noise profiles are, but they have not cooperated. So we have a number of individuals that we've been working with who have significant expertise, and they have looked at it and reached conclusions that, you know, at the distances that they are now setting up turbines, that these will be unsafe for people. Some of the anecdotal evidence we're now getting also is from operating wind farms here in the U.S. And I spoke with a woman in Illinois 2 weeks ago whose farm is near an industrial wind farm. And her child, who is autistic, has been having severe problems as a result of the operation of the wind farm. We also, from Mars Hill in Maine, it's Mars Hill Project by UPC, the people there are describing noise that's like a freight train coming through the house, unable to sleep, read, or watch TV. Now, that's not all the time. It depends on the direction of the wind, the amount of wind, and where you're situated with respect to the turbine. But We do have a lot of people who've said these should not be built near residential or recreational areas.
And presumably you could be dealing with a situation where if people reach a point where nothing is done about this and where the bad guys prevail and this whole situation continues, ostensibly this is going to change a way of life that has existed for some of these families for generations. And if they find themselves being forced off of their own land, then it begs the question as to whether or not those properties in turn could be snapped up by some of the same economic interests that have facilitated the building of these wind projects to begin with.
That's certainly our concern, that there would be a domino effect. Once an industrial-scale development comes into the town, we're concerned that property values will diminish and certainly quality of life will diminish. And personally, I could not agree to live within proximity of an industrial wind farm. That's not why we're here in the middle of nowhere. We're here because it is the middle of nowhere.
Yes, and exactly. And to me, you know, I used to live in the middle of nowhere between Kerrville and Medina, Texas, for about 5 years before I jumped into Philadelphia in the Northeast for a few years to go back to grad school one more time. So I can appreciate the entire ethos that exists in these rural areas, New York and Vermont and Pennsylvania, where people are presumably watching an entire way of life come under new and renewed threat. And as we talk about this, Brad, what are the implications of this, in your own words, in terms of media coverage? And the reason that I ask this is that I cover all kinds of things on this show, many times that have an obvious international scope. One day I had Dr. George Cody on from the American Task Force on Lebanon, and he was talking about this whole issue of Israeli cluster bombs that have been dropped in southern Lebanon in the last 72 hours of that last conflict, and all of the ramifications of these millions of cluster bombs that have not yet exploded that are sitting around in various places in southern Lebanon where kids are picking these things up and having hands and legs blown off and things of this sort. And as he and I were talking about that, of course, we were chatting a little bit about the lack of media coverage that has been involved with this in the United States, and one can draw one's own conclusions as to why that might be. It seems to me, in terms of the Cohocton wind situation and the wind situation in these other places in New York and Vermont and Pennsylvania, that the only place up to now where I have read about any of this has been in a good alternative news site on the World Wide Web, and that's Jim Paul's Breaking All the Rules News. And presumably the basic reason that it's there is because Jim knows all about this situation and has been informing his other correspondents about it. Now, it seems to me that we've now reached the point, thankfully, where we're now talking about this on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I hope that the American Free Press in Washington, D.C., which has several guys that work with us here at Republic Broadcasting Network from time to time, that they'll start covering this situation involving your antitrust operation. But clearly, we have a difficulty, don't we, with the larger corporate media, and that we're back to the same old familiar story, that the people that are perpetrating something like this tend to be the people that own corporate media lock, stock, and barrel. It seems to be a stacked deck.
Well, it is a stacked deck, and the mainstream media to date has not covered our issues. The coverage that we've been able to get tends to be rather local or regional. However, as additional antitrust complaints are filed, and we believe that there's a likelihood that a law firm in Washington, D.C. may file an antitrust complaint on behalf of citizens that they represent, they're going to have a real hard time ignoring it at that point, because there will be more and more antitrust complaints filed. If we get the Attorney General's office involved in the state that we hope will, again, there will be press conferences at that level. They're going to have to cover the story.
Yeah, and it seems to me that from what you shared, this Attorney General's office in an unnamed state up in your part of the country, and certainly the fact that this whole controversy has now extended into interest in the state of Illinois, that I would guess that if you get one state attorney general's office to do an honest job in looking into this, and that, of course, apparently has begun because of what you've initiated with the Department of Justice, that you get the Department of Justice involved in this with one legitimate state attorney general's office, that could be the reverse domino effect in terms of, if you'll pardon this rather lousy metaphor, the wind beginning to blow in your direction.
Exactly. Exactly
yes.
Right, Mark. That's so, what we're hoping for.
How long have you guys been involved in fighting this whole thing?
Well, I personally have been involved for about a year and a half, but we've had some people who've been involved for over 5 years.
Yes, and I mean, presumably, I know, for example, my editor, Breaking All the Rules News, I have tried to step in to help him with news posting to the extent that I can do that and doing a little bit of ongoing essay work for him online in spite of what I'm doing with the Republic Broadcasting Network, simply to free him up to be more directly involved in working with you folks up there, because presumably, Jim is involved in this whole thing at a most basic personal level. I think maybe we need to understand, as listeners who are talking to you today and listening to you, that the lives, the literal lives, the personal lives and family lives of untold numbers of people hinge upon the outcome of this whole thing. When we come back, let's explore that a little bit. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Brad Jones from New York, talking about the federal Anti-Department of Justice antitrust suit that has been filed in regard to the international cartel governing the wind energy industry. Stay tuned.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are with Brad Jones today. I wanted to warn Brad and to warn the other listeners that in the next 10 minutes or so, we traditionally have a lot of commercial interruptions, and then we'll have an opportunity for a much longer period of conversation again. And as I look at the board, I need to remind all of you that we should be involved to the extent that we can be in supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can support us in one of three ways, or one of three methodologies, I should say. We need your financial gifts to the extent that you can possibly send them our way. Www.republicbroadcasting.org is one vehicle for that on the World Wide Web. You can give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. You can also contact us by U.S. mail, Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I'll repeat those contact points again. On the World Wide Web, you can contact us through www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or you can send your gifts to the Republic Broadcasting Network at 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I've also put in a couple of plugs for friends on this network. One of those friends is Congressman Ron Paul. I can't emphasize strongly enough that I think the listeners to RBN ought to be involved in supporting Congressman Paul in his lonely fight for the Republican presidential nomination. For all of the reasons that we listen to RBN, I think Ron Paul is running. He's got a gig going on in Austin this weekend, and that takes place Saturday night, I believe, tomorrow evening, at the Texas History Museum in Austin, which I believe is at Congress and Martin Luther King Drive. And it's going to take place from 6:30 to 10 p.m., and you can call Ron Paul's office in Austin for information on this whole event, 512-250-8649. That's 512-250-8649. If you believe in the Constitution of the United States, if you're sick of foreign wars, if you're tired of central bankers telling us how to run the country and running the country for us, if you're tired of a Leviathan federal government, if you're tired of globalism, if you're fed up with illegal immigration, if you're fed up with federal trade and budget deficits, if you're fed up with the federal government that's trampling all over the enumerated powers doctrine of the Constitution, Ron Paul, I'm going to say on the air personally, is your man for the presidency of the United States. He needs your help, though. And so in Austin this weekend, you can go up and be a part of this gathering, 6:30 to 10 p.m. up in Austin. That's at the Texas History Museum at the intersection of Congress and Martin Luther King Drive. And call up there at 512-250-8649. That's 512-250-8649. The other thing, as usual, I would like to put in a plug for my friends at the American Free Press in Washington, D.C. Our friend Mark Glenn, who's on my show usually on Fridays, is a part of AFP. Michael Collins Piper of RBN is, of course, an AFP man par excellence. You've got Willis Carto. You've got Mark Anderson. You've got Christopher Petherick. All of those fine people up there need our help as well. You can subscribe to the American Free Press at 1-888-699-NEWS. 1-888-699-NEWS. And in regard to AFP, I have put them on to this story involving Brad Jones and what he's doing with this federal antitrust case that's been filed with the Department of Justice against this international cartel that's involved in these industrial wind projects up in New York and Illinois and Pennsylvania and Vermont. It's my sincere hope that AFP will pick up on this. I'm also in the process of dropping a note to Dr. Jerome Corsi of WorldNet Daily. He's going to be on this show this coming week on Wednesday. I want him to know about this case involving Brad Jones because there's over